learned in Shem Yishmuel on Thursday about the Inyan of Klal Yisrael's birth in Mitzrayim. It's interesting, the Torah makes a point to tell us that the Jewish people left B'chodesh Ha'aviv. They left and it was nice weather. It was nice weather. Why do I care that it's nice weather? The answer is that's part of exactly what we're describing. The birth of the world, when the world is starting to come alive again from the dead of winter, and the world is being reborn. So too, it was a fitting time, it was the springtime, it was a fitting time for Klal Yisrael to be born as well. So I'd like to learn together a piece to just go a little bit weiter on this inyan of Goy Mikarev Goy. It's a piece from the Tolner Rebbe, the current Tolner Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Menachem Weinberg from Yerushalayim, the Tolner Rebbe Shlita. And we've learned from his sefer in the past, the Hema Yenachamuni. This is the volume on Moadim. Okay, and it's a piece called Goy Mikarev Goy, which will help us to better understand what it meant to separate ourselves from Mitzrayim, both in terms of our bodies and our spirit. Okay, we're going to go quickly through the piece. I'm not going to read every word inside. That's why I did a lot of underlining, so we can jump around. But we'll get the Tamtzis Dvarav. Okay, Goy Mikarev Goy. Na'amod al kama tmios b'divrei ba'al ha'gal. He starts off by asking a whole slew of questions. V'nishtadol ha'zviron bezis Hashem Yisparach al yedei limud omek devarav. Acharei she'elos haben b'nusach manishtam. Anu onim lo kach. Avadim hayinu l'parav mitzrayim. V'yotzi'enu Hashem elokeinu misham b'yad chazaka u'vizroa netuya. Had Hashem not taken out our ancestors from Egypt, we'd all still be slaves in Egypt. Okay, so quite a few things. The Ben asks Manashtana, we say we were slaves in Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, Biyad Chazak Uvizor Netuya. Had Hashem not taken us out, we would still be there. And last but not least, even if you're a Chacham, you need to talk about the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, a lot of points there. And each one is significant, we need to understand each one. First of all, he says, I'd like to explore the following. HaReisha Shel HaTshuva, Lekucha MiParshas VeEschanan. The first part of the response is taken from Veschanan. V'amarta lebincha, avadim ayinu l'parav Mitzrayim, v'yoseinu Hashem Mitzrayim b'yad chazaka. The first thing you say, you tell your children, you tell your son, we were slaves in Mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out b'yad chazaka. Okay? Hemshech ha'dvarim, zroa netuya, where did the term zroa netuya come from? That's at the beginning of Parshas Ve'era. L'chein amor l'vnei Yisrael, ani Hashem v'otzeisi aschem itach ha'sivlos Mitzrayim, v'itzalti aschem mi'avodasam, v'ga'alti aschem b'zroa netuya, u'b'shvatim gedolim. There's a third pasuk in Ve'eschanan, again in Parak Dalid, where it's mazkir this inyan of the zroa netuya. Oh, and Yisrael lokim l'vo l'kachas lo goy mikarev goy, with all sorts of wonders and unbelievable things, with osos and mofsim, uve mochama, uve yad chazaka, b'zroa netuya, uve moraim gedolim. So says the Tolner Rebbe, my first question is the following. Again, if you go back to the first paragraph of the answer, you see where I underlined b'yad chazaka, b'zroa netuya, which is a phrase that we see in the Torah, in the psukim that we just looked at. But in Parshas Ve'era, in addition to the zroa netuya, it talks about what? Shvatim gedolim. And in Parshas Ve'eschanan, in addition to the zroa netuya, it talks about moraim gedolim. So the first question is, what happened to those things? Why are those left out of the answer as presented in the Haggadah? Okay, so third paragraph. Yesh levayir madua hishmit bal Haggadah es ha-shvatim gedolim shenizkru im azro netuya b'parshas ve'era and the moraim gedolim, which are mentioned in Ve'eschanan. Right? Why is the Baal HaGadah using certain phrases and leaving out other phrases? Uviyoser kasha, and the question is that much stronger when we realize ki behemshech asher Baal HaGadah mevar kol keta b'nifrad. When the HaGadah then goes on to explain each phrase piece by piece, There, it does explain. V'yotzinu Hashem Yitzrayim b'yad chazaka uv'zroa netuya uv'mora gadol uv'osos uv'mosim. It goes through the pieces. So why in the initial answer to the son does it leave out some of those details? Question one. Next, bottom paragraph on 29. Behemshich mevar balagada umekor dvar b'sifrei. The balagada goes on. Based on the Sifrei, the Medrash, Yad Chazaka, which is emphasized, the Yad Chazaka, the Zohar Neturah, Yad Chazaka, Hakavana Lamakas Barad. Yad Chazaka is a reference to the Maka of Barad. What is Barad? What is Barad? What? Oh, Dever, I'm sorry. Why am I saying Barad? Dever. Good, thanks for looking inside. That the Yad Chazaka is reference to Dever. Okay, let's try again. So what is Dever? That bard is hell. What is Dever? Yeah, Dever was the plague that affected the pestilence. Yeah, that affected the animals. Okay? Why was the Yad Chazaka, in what way is Yad Chazaka most greatly expressed through Dever? Right? By Dever it says, Hine Yad Hashem Hoya B'miknecha. Hashem besad the besusim and the chaborim and the gemalim and the bakar and the tzon was a Dever kavid ma'od. But why dafka that plague, of all plagues, was Hashem's hand felt in a particularly clear and heavy way? V'hine l'chora makas Dever ha'isakal Hashem makos. In a certain sense, Dever was the least severe of all of the makos. Why? Sharehi pogo rak bebehemos v'lo bebnei adam. Because this was the plague that directly affected animals and not people. Turn the page. Top of page 30. Lu'umas kol yeser ha-makos shepogu gam beguf ha-mitzrim. As opposed to the other plagues, which struck a more direct hit on the Egyptians themselves. V'im kein ma makom yesh lahadgish as hayad hachazaka shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu davka b'maka kala b'yoser. Why should seemingly the lightest of all the makos be the one that expresses the Yad Chazaka, the strong hand of Hashem? Yeah.
Weren't those like their gods?
Okay, you could give that as an answer. It could be that striking the animals, right, included the animals that they worshipped, so it was a strike on their gods. Okay, well, so is Dam. Dam was also, right? Dam was also an attack on their gods, as Rashi and Chumash says. They worship the Nile.
Yeah. What is pestilence? I mean, I know the word.
Animals get sick and they die.
Yeah.
A terrible outbreak, plague. I don't know, mad cow disease.
Right.
I don't know. Got to ask our local farmers to find out what type of illnesses are the most dangerous. But again, it affected the animals, not the people. It was seemingly the lightest of the makos. Let's go a step further. Oud na'ir ha'makas dever, sheba niskra ha'flo'a shebein am Yisrael v'amitzu. Perhaps a way to understand this, but to initially raise a further question, is there's an emphasis the Torah makes on the distinction, the ha'flo'a, the distinction, the separation between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrim, specifically by dever. That it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and He distinguished between Mikne Yisrael and Mikne Mitzrayim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguished between the animals of the Egyptians and the animals of the Jews. That emphasis of Hafla is expressed b'myuchad by Makas Dever. Hafla zu, ha'isa b'chol makos. Now, there was a distinction by every Makkah. Dam also affected Egyptians and not Jews. Tzardaya also affected Egyptians and not Jews. Kinim also affected Egyptians and not Jews. Why did I pick those three? Because they're the first three, right? No, because Ibn Ezra says the first three affected Jews also. And he was taken to task by some other Rishonim for saying that. Chas v'shalom to say such a thing. There were some Rishonim who believed that the first three Makos, the Jewish people were not spared from. But we're going to assume not that way. We're going to assume that Klal Yisrael was protected by all three Makos. And that by each of the 10 Makos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguished between who? Between Mitzrim and between Jews. So why does the Torah emphasize it by Dever? Why does the Torah make a point of it by Dever? All the Makos, they afflicted the Egyptians, they didn't afflict the Jews. Why emphasize this Hafla that Hashem distinguished between the Jewish animals and the non-Jewish animals. So he quotes the Ramban. The Ramban tells us, Ramban Omer Kach, Ve'ilu Dvarav, Ve'hine, Haya Mikna Rachuk Mimitzrayim Besode Gvul Goshen. The animals, the reason the Ramban tells us Al Derech Pshat, the reason that the Torah emphasizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicted the Egyptian animals and not the Jewish animals, is because the animals were kept far from the big cities. The animals were kept out in the fields, somewhere near Goshen. And therefore, Dafka, by the animals, there was a mingling of Jewish animals and non-Jewish animals. When it came to the Jewish population, the Jewish people didn't live in the same communities, right? The slave nation was not living amongst the Egyptians. But their animals, because they were out in the fields together, the animals were mingling. And therefore, al derech hapshat, the Torah comes to tell us that when it came to the Mak of Dever, even though the animals were all intermingled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down and was able to distinguish this animal belongs to a Jew and this animal belongs to an Egyptian. That's the Ramban al derech hapshat. But again, we need to try to understand more why Dafka by Dever, the Torah is emphasizing there were Jewish animals and there were non-Jewish animals. Jewish animals were spared and non-Jewish animals suffered from that Mak. Okay, third paragraph on page 30. What was the next part of the answer that we gave to our children?
That was the answer.
No, we didn't give the answer. The Ramban is telling us. Right? By all the other makos, it was easier, so to speak, to distinguish between Jew and Mitzri. The animals who were all intermingled, it was more of an avoda on Hashem's part to distinguish. To be able to say, Jewish animal, not Jewish animal. But that's only B'derech HaPshat. And the Talmud Rebbe wants to go deeper. We told our children, V'ilu lohotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zavaseinu Mitzrayim, we would still be slaves to power in Mitzrayim. Is that true? That's what the Baal Agada brings as part of the answer to our children. The children ask questions, we give answers. Avodim Hayinu L'Power Mitzrayim. And Hashem took us out, B'yad Chazak V'Zroah Netuyah. We asked a few questions on that. On the language, on the emphasis of the distinction, specifically by Dever, Yad Chazakah. Right? Now we go on to the next part. We tell our children, had Hashem not taken us out, we'd still be slaves in Mitzrayim. Is that true? Well, no. When did we get out? After 210 years. How long were we supposed to be there? Let's say 400 years. Okay? So we got out early. But by 400 years, it sounds like for sure we'd have to get out. Okay, let's say we could renegotiate the term of the contract. Right? I mean, why are we assuming that Hashem not taking us out of Mitzrayim when he did, we'd still be in Mitzrayim? Well, why should we assume that? Would it be unreasonable to assume that at some point, over the last several thousand years, the Jewish people would have gone free? Look what he writes, where it's underlined. Minayin akviya hanechretzes ki arayom hazeh hayinu meshubadim lepar mitzrayim. Right? With what? Why does the Baal Haggadah emphasize in such a sharp and strong language that we would still be slaves to Mitzrayim had Hashem not taken us out of Mitzrayim? It's just simply not true. Historically, it doesn't seem to be the reality. Yeah?
Does that mean that Hashem wouldn't have taken that at that specific time? As in, you could have taken that, you know, a year, 10 years.
Okay, so...
Or is that, you know, not via Hashem would have taken us out?
Okay, so that's part, right, so we have to be mechalik exactly what we're asking. Right, we also know there was the concern that the Jewish people would fall to the Shar Nun and be irredeemable. So it could be, had Hashem not taken us out at that exact moment, like the Pasuk says, V'lo yuchal lihit mameha, they could not wait a second longer, which their Rizal understood that they were on the spiritual brink of destruction. So it could be that's what it means. Had he not gotten us out then, it would have been impossible to get us out. But on a more simple level, why are we assuming that? Let's just talk from a sociological perspective. Why should we assume that had Hashem not taken us out then, we'd still be slaves of Mitzrayim? V'chilo re'inu amim shiyatu lecheros v'nesivos shonos u'mishunot? Do we not see all sorts of people, slaves, right, living under oppressive regimes and governments, who at some point, in some radical turn of events, something happened, and they were set free? Mishtarim naflu v'kamu v'chol keyotibo. Right? There's ups, there's downs, governments, powers. K'muvan sh'akol v'ashkacha pratis shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, we're not saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't run the world, and there could have been a natural redemption of the Jewish people without Hashem. Of course Hashem is involved. Aval kan yesh hadgasha, but here the Torah is emphasizing what? Hashem did miracles for you. Hashem took you out of the miraculous way. Which leads us to ask the question, why couldn't we leave Mitzrayim in a more natural way? Why did it have to be in such a wild and crazy way? There were nations throughout history, there were peoples throughout history who suffered under other governments, under people, and the time came for them to go free, and through a series of natural events, so to speak, those nations were set free. So why is the Torah emphasizing, has there ever been a nation who their God came with such miraculous fashion and took them out, goy mikar of goy, right? With the Yad Chazaka and Azor Netuya and Osos and Mofsim. Why do I need to mention all these miracles? He says at the end of the paragraph where it's underlined, Madua lo yachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu ligolas Yisrael belinizim gluyim. Why do you need open miracles to set the Jews free? And what does that tell us about the nature of the freedom that we achieved at that time? Bottom paragraph on page 30. Otzarech bir. Masha Omer Baal Agada, the third part of the answer. So again, the first part of the answer was, Hashem, you took us out, b'yad chazaku b'zor netuya. So we wanted to understand, A, why certain phrases are missing. We wanted to understand why the Yad Chazaka emphasizes Dever. What was the emphasis of Dever? Part two, we want to understand why the Baal HaGadah is making such a big deal over the fact that Hashem took us out, and had He not taken us out, we'd still be slaves in Mitzrayim. And more basic, on a more basic level, just ask the question, why did Hashem have to take us out in the way that He took us out? Why couldn't we be redeemed and saved the way that nations throughout history have been freed from their oppression? And now we come to question three, the third part of our answer. As we respond to our children, we say, and therefore, even if you're a Talmud Chacham, you need to learn about Mitzrayim. You need to talk about Mitzrayim. What's the Hava Mina not that way? Why do I have to declare, even if you're a Chacham and you're a Navon and you're a Tzaddik? Of course you need to talk about Mitzrayim. Were you there? Yes. Were you saved? Yes. He says in the bottom paragraph on page 30, Otzarech Bior. Masha Omer Baal HaGadda Vafilu Kulanu Chachamim Kulanu Yodim Es HaTorah Mitzvah Alinu Lesaper B'Yasiyas Mitzrayim Madua Yesh Hava Amina Shechacham Pater Mimitzvah Zu. What's the Hava Amina? You know a lot of Torah, so therefore you're Pater from Mitzvahs. Why should a Chacham be Pater from Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? V'chichacham Pater Mikriyashma or Tefillin. Hare Mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is one of the 613 Mitzvahs. What's the chiddush? That a chacham also has to be a part of this mitzvah. Okay? Top of page 31. His final question. We mentioned the Yad Chazaka. We emphasize also the Zroa Netuya. What is the Zroa Netuya? Tell me if you ever heard of this makkah. Uvizroa Netuya, Zo Hacherev. The sword. Sword? Which makkah was the sword? K'moshen emar b'charvo shlufa b'yado netuya al Yerushalayim. That's a nice pasuk in the Navi. Which makkah is the sword? Ein bein aseres hamakos makkah shel cherev. U'makavana uvizor netuya za cherev. Harei lo haisa makkah kazo. There was no makkah cherev. What's the makkah cherev? Okay? So, B'sach HaKol, it seems like we have four questions. Number one, Yad Chazaka is a reference to Dever. Why the emphasis on Dever? Why the emphasis on distinguishing Jews from Mitzrim, Dafka through the plague of Dever? Number two, why did Hashem have to take us out in such a magnificent way? And why are we Choshesh that had He not taken us out in that way, we'd still be slaves in Mitzrayim? The 400 years would have run out and He would have taken us out. Or we would have been freed by some more natural means. Question number three, what's the Hava Mina that Chachamim should not have to be a part of this mitzvah? Isn't it obvious, like any of the 613 mitzvahs, your Torah knowledge does not exempt you? If anything, it maybe enhances your ability to do the mitzvah. And question number four, Zro Netuya, the Makkah, or the reference to the Cherev, right? And we don't know what that's really a reference to and how that ties into what we're discussing. Okay, so says the Talmud Rebbe, let us put together a mahalach to try to understand these questions. Thank you. Wow, so much blessing. Yeah, I'll take a tissue, please. Thanks. Okay. So here's the answer. Says the Heilig Talmud Rebbe Shlita on page 31. Now you'll see this piece is a deeply psychological insight. And the Talmud Rebbe is certainly a person who is known as a tremendous Baal Eitza, a person who's very insightful in a very down-to-earth kind of way. And look what he says here. Look what he talks about. Essentially, what he's going to explain to us now is how Klal Yisrael were able to leave Mitzrayim and not to suffer from post-traumatic, what's it called? Stress disorder, PTSD. Thank you. Klal Yisrael were able to leave Mitzrayim and not to suffer from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Is that what it is, PTSD?
Yeah.
Look what he says, where it's underlined on page 31. Yesh hevdel mahuti bein geulas Yisrael mitzrayim lebein ma shekara b'mahalech ha'historia l'chol ha'amim sheishtacharu me'ol umos acherot. There's something unique about the way the Jews left Mitzrayim, different than the way that any other nation was ever freed from their oppression and captivity. There's no doubt that many have gone free. Right, by self-revolt, by overthrowing, again, an evil regime, sometimes freed with the help and the encouragement of others. Aval nidrash zman rav la'acher hashichur afizi ad sha'am shechai tachas kibush yishtacher nafshit. Says the Talmud Rebbe, it's one thing to walk out of captivity. It's one thing to no longer have to fulfill your quota, you know, building for the Egyptians. It's another thing to be able to not wake up in the middle of the night screaming because you're having nightmares of your years of oppression in Mitzrayim. Dugma muchshit v'koevet l'kach ra'inu etzal ha'yehudim sheshtachru m'machanos ha'ashmada shel ha'natzim yimach shamam v'zichom. Needless to say, we've all heard stories, we've all met people, right? The Mashpia often speaks about his parents and their particular difficulties throughout the war, right? And it comes with years of nightmares. It comes with years of being afraid. Right? Mashpi always says that his parents were always very worried about him. And they always wanted to make sure that he would check in with them, to call when he got somewhere. Right? Because you live with a lot of fear. Rightfully so. You saw how evil the world can be. So when the Jews walked out of the concentration camps, right? Yes, they were physically freed. They were no longer going to be sent to the gas chambers and the crematoria. But they were still terrified. And they were broken people. Their spirit had been utterly shattered. They left there, bones without spirit. Guf, lelo neshama. Anashim elu, chivu hereg v'inuyim. Ovdan shel nashim v'yaladim. Horim, achim, achayot. These people what? These people had experienced what? Had experienced murder. These people had experienced torture. These people had experienced the loss of their wives, their children, their families, their parents, their siblings. Heim hayu nesunim shanim rabos la'achet shechruam bapachat. For years, a person lives with the fear of the enemy who's still chasing behind them. Tmunos machridos hayu olos l'neged eineim balaylos. All sorts of terrifying images appeared before them in the dark of night. Is this the life of a free person? That's free. To spend the rest of your life in living with paranoia, waking up in a sweat in the middle of the night because you're having dreams, screaming, night terrors. It's horrible. So the mice of their bodies went free, Right? But their lowly spirit was still a lowly spirit. The ruach of the person was lost. Him ivdu besoch boris hamavis, in the pits of the death camps. Betzrifim al hadargashim tachas ragle haklagsim. What's klagsim? Anyone know? Hachzarim.
The clogs.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, they're clogs. Clogsim. Yeah, beneath the heels of their brutal boots. Yeah. Vuhuadin, he says, I'll give you another example for us Americans. Yeah? Let's talk about the freeing of slaves in America. He says, Vuhuadin b'shachorim ba'artzot habrit. Right? The blacks in America. Sheshuchru me'avdus. Yeah, the African Americans who were freed in America. Yes, there was a turning point where they were no longer physically slaves. But how many years until what? Until they were given equal rights. And to this day, maybe to the point that it's already become corrupted, but to this day, right? To this day, there's still a sense of social justice that the African American community is still seeking and still feels entitled to, based on everything that they had suffered. And much of that is rightfully so. So says the Talmud Rebbe, the trauma, shel anashim mishubadim einochol lefes berega ashichur. The trauma doesn't leave the second a person goes free. Zo pegia nafshit amuka shelokeach shonim lerapeo so im bechlal. It takes years and years to heal such a thing, if it's possible to be healed at all. So now, chevra, now we come to the chiddush of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yeah.
We know that, I mean, like, there's a few different factors that I agree with what Rebbe is trying to say here, that they left, and, you know, the thing is that no one had post-traumatic stress disorder, right?
That's what we're going to say, correct.
That's what you're trying to say, that no one came out. They came out and, like, they're all perfectly fine. Two things that I want to say on this. A, Mitzrayim was bad. I'm not going to deny that. It was 210 years
longer
than any other slavery or oppression, whatever. In the Midbar, at certain points, they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim because it wasn't so bad. They had fish, where in other oppressions, like, they didn't have even what to eat. They had fish, had what to eat. And of course, it was terrible. That's A. B, it was so long that the people who went into slavery first, should they call their families, they all, it took 10 years, they all passed on. And then the people who left Mitzrayim, they never had freedom to begin with. They were born into slavery. So their whole lives, all they knew was slavery. They didn't know freedom.
So you're saying it's not as bad if you're born into it.
Right. That's not, I don't know.
Maybe. In terms of the question of, it does seem at times like there is a slow process to set themselves free from Mitzrayim. Right, let's see the Talmud Rebbe's presentation. Let's let him argue his evidence. Right, but in terms of a person you're saying who was born in Mitzrayim, never tasted freedom, it's not so bad.
Right, and then when
I don't know.
Interesting is when he leaves, and at certain points he wants to.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who were born into worlds that were oppressive, and they knew that it was oppressive, and they suffered terribly. Right. But let's.
When they left. The fact that they were free, also they wanted to go back at certain points. They wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. That's all they were comfortable.
So let's see how quickly they adjusted. His point is going to be, bottom line is that they were able to adjust much more naturally because they had been saved by Hashem. But let's see. Okay, the bottom paragraph on page 31. Me'ata navin es yichudiusa shel geulas Yisrael Mitzrayim. So now we understand what made the geula of the Jewish people from Mitzrayim unique. The Jewish people had suffered for a very long period in Mitzrayim. 210 years, he says. Masayim Vester Shanim, like Rashi tells us. Chelak Nikar Meat Kufa, a substantial part of that entire period. Heim Neltzu La'avod Avodas Parach V'Savlu Migzeros Noraos. They suffered very, very difficult work and other decrees against them. Hashibur HaGufni Hayunora, like the Midrashim describe, how their very children were being placed into the building. Valkos kashos, and terrible whipping, right? Halkos, malchus, lashes. Va'avodah mi'boker ad alayla. So this was pretty intense. The Midrashim spell it out for us. Yachad imzos hayigam shibur nefesh. Additionally, their souls were being enslaved. As we know from Chazal, the Zohar Chadash and Parshas Yisro, ki b'nei Yisrael shaku b'memtes shari tuma, v'gam mivachina ruchnit heim naflu amuk ma'od. So in their bodies, they were very broken. In their spirit, they were very lowly. Umibira amikta, turn the page, top of 20:32. Umibira amikta zo beguf uva nefesh. And from this very, very deep ditch, from which they found themselves both physically and spiritually, ba kadosh baruch hu v'gal lo sam b'tzura kazu, shelo nosu kol meshka'im, that there would be no residue, there'd be no trace of what they had been through. Lo hayit zorach b'shanim rabos shel shikum, lo hayisabam nemichas haruach v'refisas hadas. They didn't need to go to therapy for years and years and years and years to begin to deal with what they had gone through. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hevi osam ba'achas lematzav shel u'bnei Yisrael yotzim bi'ad rama. They went from a crushed people whose spirit had been shattered to leaving as a courageous people bi'ad rama with an outstretched hand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hevi osam ba'achas lematzav shel u'bnei Yisrael yotzim bi'ad rama. U'bi'a Rashi, says Rashi, b'gvura gvoa mufursemes. They left with an unbelievable spirit. Now, Dave's questions are good questions. You do see traces of Jews panicking. You do see places where they seem to not have that confidence. But for the most part, as the Rebbe is going to explain, they left a confident people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hafach b'bas achas, am mushpol meducha la'am geya uvatuach ba'atzma. He turned them from a people who were lowly and oppressed into a confident, courageous people who believed in themselves. And am ben chorin lo shum zecher l'shibur anor, without any trace, any remembrance of what they had been through. Ze mahapich adir shekol kulo nes. Now this is what's very interesting. The Tolna Rebbe is now blending the world of psychology and the world of what we would call a miracle. We would call a miracle the miracles we saw in Mitzrayim. Dov, Tzordeya, Kinim, Arov. The Tolna Rebbe is telling us that the human condition is such that it's impossible, b'derech hateva, for a person to go through such a traumatic experience and to say, I'm fine afterwards. If a person says, I'm fine afterwards, that's usually the biggest indication that they're totally not fine and you need to get them some psychological help. Because you shouldn't be fine. Dr. Pelkovitz seemed to mention that idea last week, right? That a person who went through a family trauma of some sort, or grew up in a difficult home, and a person has dealt with it head on, so that person could be a very resilient and strong person. But a person who says, no, it never affected me, you know something's off. How could that not affect you? That means you're suppressing whatever it is that it affected you, and you're not dealing with it perhaps in a healthy way, and that's a bad sign. So the fact that Klal Yisrael were able to what? To sit, walk out of Mitzrayim and feel fine, the only way that could happen is B'derech Nes. B'derech Nes. You'll say, what? That's how they felt. Not possible to feel that way unless there's a miraculous transformation that takes place. So says the Talmud Rebbe, that's what it means. Zos Kavanas Baal HaGada, in the second paragraph on page 32, this is the intention of Baal HaGada when he's Koveya, Ilu Lohotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zavu Seinu Mitzrayim. We would still be slaves to power of Mitzrayim. What does it mean we'd still be slaves to power of Mitzrayim? Here's his main chiddush. Amnam Yitachin V'Yisrael Hayu Yotzim Fizit Mishibun Mitzrayim. Of course physically we would have left Mitzrayim by now. But the Jewish people, see, it's interesting. We're obsessed with Mitzrayim, but in a healthy way. Everything is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're always Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything goes back. Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Look in the Sefer Achinuch. Look in the Rambam. Look in the writings of the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. It's always Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're obsessed with Mitzrayim. Why are we obsessed with Mitzrayim? Why are we always going back to Mitzrayim? It's not because we have an unhealthy relationship with Mitzrayim. We're able to talk about it so much because we have a healthy relationship with it. Right? Because we're able to look back on it in a healthy way. So yes, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out the way that He did, when He did, for sure by now we would be physically free. However, Aval yitzia lecheres b'tzura tivis v'lo nisis kefi shakar l'umos acheres b'mahalacha historia. But to go free in a natural way, like many people went free over the course of history, he yitzia hamosira chosem kasha shal avdus hakodemis. But it leaves a heavy trace. It leaves a strong mark, right, of what a person had experienced previously, where it's underlined. He lo mishachreres es ha'am legamri. It's not possible for a human being, right, to so quickly set someone's spirit free. One's body can be freed quickly, but the spirit, to change the spirit naturally, takes a very, very long time. Lilot Salakos, without any scars, without any traces, without any blemishes, Velo Mishkaim, and without any what, without any, again, residue, any markings. Right? Only a Koch Eloki can achieve such a thing. And Zem Ashakar be Yasias Mitzrayim. That's the Chiddush Yasias Mitzrayim. The Chiddush Harim famously says that when the Torah tells us that a Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, to get out mitacha sivlos Mitzrayim meant changing their mindset. To get out from being sovel Mitzrayim, to be sovel Mitzrayim means I can handle it, I can bear it, I'm okay with it, I accept it. It is what it is. They needed a radical shift in their thinking in Mitzrayim. Right? There was a gulas hadas, and they needed a gulas hadas to get out of that captivity. If you look in the Or Gedaliah, from Gedaliah Shur, he writes there in the name of the Beis Yaakov from Ishbitz. He says the propaganda in Mitzrayim was unbelievable. The mental enslavement that was taking place in Mitzrayim was unbelievable. You don't find Jews who tried to even escape. And he says, you don't find that there were fences, there aren't security fences, barking dogs, people with machine guns. They had them so mentally enslaved that there was no sense of like even trying. There was no concept of freedom. There was at one point a group that tried to leave unsuccessfully. But b'derech chlal, the Jewish people didn't contemplate a rebellion. They didn't try to escape. And again, there weren't fences, and there weren't that what
they had so little fences. They were
mentally right. That was right. The thought of going back to Mitzrayim was part of the mental slavery that had to be shattered. But again, eventually we were able to leave in a healthy way, and to be able to reflect on it, to talk about it in a healthy way, to celebrate it in a healthy way, to be transformed by it in a healthy way. So says the Talmud Rebbe. V'hinei kafisha iskarnu yitzias Mitzrayim lo haisarak yitzia me'avdus l'cheres elagam yitzia mituma letara. It was a spiritual transformation. It was on the level of nefesh that the Jewish people were freed. V'yozam Yisrael b'Mitzrayim lachamu b'em ha-mitzrim v'nisu b'chol kochem lo ridam ikdushasam. The Egyptians battled them to drag them down. So much so, like we said in Shem Yishmuel, goy mikarev goy, to extract a baby from within its mother, right? It was like taking a baby animal which needs to be pulled out of its mother's womb. That's the Medrash, the Al-Shemoni that the Talmud Rebbe references here. That there was an unbelievable difficulty in trying to get us out of there in a safe and healthy way. Go to the bottom paragraph on page 32. Matzavah aruchni shel Am Yisrael hayah b'shafel ha-madrega mamish kmo ha-mitzrim. We were on such a low level, we were on the same level as the Egyptians themselves. That's why by Kriyas Yamsuf, we quoted the Medrash on Thursday, top of page 33, that the heavens, the heavenly angels, the Malach Samach Mem, came and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, these ones do Avodah Zarah, and these ones do Avodah Zarah. Right? So why should these ones be saved, and these ones drown? So there was a major taina against Klal Yisrael, and again, we were indistinguishable from the mitzvah themselves. Says the Talmud Rebbe, top of page 33, second paragraph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hotzi Es Yisrael L'Cheres Gemura. Again, lelot tzalakos, without any scabs or scars. Nothing of the past remained. B'tesav Nisan, Heim Yatsum Mitzrayim. By Vav Sivan, they had emerged on the 49 levels of Tum, and they were standing at our Sinai. Lachain, where it's underlined. Hayetzarech dafka Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could redeem the people in this way. Kedei lahafrid hafrada brura beinam lebein Mitzrayim. And now we have the answer to our question. Yad chazaka dever. Yad chazaka dever. Why does the Torah emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguished between the Jewish people and the Egyptians by the Makkah of Dever? Look what he writes in the bottom paragraph of page 33. Me'ata gam navin ma ha-miyuchad b'yad chazaka zeh dever. Sha'almu, we asked. Harei dever hi amaka kala bioser. Shepoga rak b'behemos. Dever was a plague that only affected the animals. It didn't even affect people. But says the Talmud Rabbi, exactly. Exactly. Look how deep the divide between us and them is. Yes, it got to a point where it looked like, what? We were almost one nation. So much so that the Malach Samach Mem looked down from the heavens and said, what? Why should these ones die and these ones be saved? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to show you, I want to distinguish that even the animals of a Jew and a Gentile are different. Everything about a Jew and a Gentile is different. And anything you're looking at and judging superficially, the distinction between the Jewish people and the nations of the world, that's only superficially. But Be'etzem, there's a tremendous difference. He ano senes, biglal shemakas dever pagarak b'behemptam shal mitzrim, v'lo b'behemptam shal Yisrael. From the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguished between the animals of the Jews and the Egyptians, lo haisa giloi rav otzma, he haisa giloi rav otzma, lehevdel hatohomi shvim Yisrael l'mitzrayim. That uncovered the deepest essential difference between the Jews and the Egyptians. Why? Hare ota mashpia bruch niuso, al kol sevivaso. A person's ruchnias has ashpa on things around him, even on his animals, even on the inanimate, even on the domim, the inanimate objects around him. Kamosha matzanu, as we find, b'chamor shal Rav Pinchas ben Yair, that the donkey Rav Pinchas ben Yair refused to eat untithed grains. What, he bought a very holy donkey? He had a very holy master, and it had ashpa even on his animal. The Gemara Chulin Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. Says the Talmud where it's underlined at the bottom of page 33. Ubechol zos, amda behema shel Yisrael liyad behema shel Mitzri. Zo laksa bedever. This one was afflicted with dever, and this one was nitzal. This one was saved. Haizakara frader abasi. There's a very deep distinction that's being drawn here. Bnei Yisrael kol kach halukim me'a Mitzrim ad shafilu masha shayich lahem. That even that which belongs to them is divided, is different. Begin Shaychuso Lebalav, by way of its relationship with its owner. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show, there's nothing about my people that are connected to you, even though we had become so deeply attached to them. But it was Mamish, we're a different people, we're a different thing. And with this, says the Talmud Rebbe very creatively, maybe this is the secret of the Zroah and the Tuya, which is a reference to the Cheref. Turn to the last page. On page 34, in the third paragraph, Ulai lachain mevi bal ha'agada es ha'drashu b'zroa nituya is a reference to the sword. Sha'alnu, we asked, Harei lo haisa shum maka shul cherub b'mitzrayim. There was no maka of the sword in Mitzrayim. What was the sword? What was the knife, if you will, or the scalpel used for? Aval be'emes ha'cherub misamelas es ha'nituach ha'chad v'adin. The sword, the sharp knife, so to speak, the zakhina harifa, so to speak, as the Gemara calls it in places, refers to what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu performing a very delicate surgery. Really a hamshach of what we were talking about on Thursday. That when the baby is being born, those first moments are critical. Right? And to make sure that the baby emerges to this world in a safe and healthy way, and its earliest stages of its existence are very critical. So therefore, says the Talmud, Tafkir acherev. What was the sword? Hu lahafrid ba'ofen mukhlat v'nechratz bein hadvekim. To be able to perform a delicate procedure to separate that part of ourselves that we had been attached to, the poisonous part of ourselves that needed to be cut away, the mitzrim, right, that needed to be cut away from us, the tumor that was attached to us that needed to be removed in a very delicate fashion. Because God forbid, you don't cut away enough, it doesn't protect the person. If you cut away too much, you can destroy the vital organs of a person. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could come and perform this delicate procedure in order to save Klal Yisrael. Bottom of page 34. Lefiza. So therefore, in conclusion, Muvan Madua Mazkir Bala Gada Dafka Sayada Chazaka, which is the Dever, and the Zoran Atuya, which is the Cheref. To show that even when we look so similar, the Jewish people were really so different. And the procedure that was being performed was a procedure that would entirely separate us from the Mitzrim, both physically and spiritually. And again, that was a miraculous thing. To be able to free our spirits, that we could walk out of Mitzrayim, right, and eventually be able to move past Mitzrayim, despite a trauma that would be totally reasonable for us to still be suffering from today. But instead we're celebrating it, we're rejoicing with it. We're understanding the necessity of it, and how we've grown from it. Okay, top of the final page, 35. B'mitzvah Sipur Yesias Mitzrayim, we have a mitzvah what? L'haschel b'gnosu l'sayim b'shvach. What are we trying to do? To express that transition that took place. That there was a transition, both b'gashmias and b'ruchnias. Zos va'od, third line. Ilu negalu Yisrael Mitzrayim kishar umos, haye be'emes makom lachsho shachacham v'anavonim peturim misipur Yesias Mitzrayim. Had the redemption from Egypt come about in the natural way, there would be a good svar to say that a chacham and a navon doesn't need to tell the story. Why? Sharei heim modaim heitiv lehistoria shel amam. Umatam yesh lachzor akach barichas midei shana. Why should they review it year and year again? The sages of our people know the story as well as anyone else. So if we're just reviewing a historical account, if it's just a history lesson, so then we do have a good svara to say that a person who knows the story well doesn't need to review the story. But the reason that the Chacham, the Navon, does have to review the story, concludes the Talmud Rebbe, Ula me'achar gulas Yisrael Mitzrayim, ha'isum ora chad pa'mi, the historia. The redemption from Egypt was different than any nation being freed from any people. It was a cheiros nisit al yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. Freedom, salvation, miraculous, by Hashem Himself. Anu madgishim shedavka l'chacham l'saper bo. The chachamim bedavka need to talk about it. Ki kechol shahadam chacham yoser, kenu yachal lahamik b'mashmos hamiyuchedes shal shechur Mitzrayim. The more of a chacham you are, the more you understand, the more you understand the reality of this redemption as opposed to other redemptions in history. Everyone needs to tell the story. Like it says in Sifrei Chasidus, he quotes from the Baal Tanya, Likutei Torah and Emor, that Misaper is a lashon of Sapir. Kol amarbe l'saper is a lashon of Sapir. Sapir means illuminated. The Sapir was a very brilliant in an illuminated sense, right? A shining stone. An Evan Tova that was called the Sapir. Kol amar b'lesaper, hareza meshubach. The more a person shines from this night, the better. Yazor lanu Hashem Yisbarach, shenizke lekabel es kol ha'aros v'nucha lizbonin k'dabai b'layla meshumar. We should be zocha, a bracha from the Tolner Rebbe, to be able to understand and to fully appreciate. And to be able to value the freedom that we were granted and were continuously granted on the Seder night. Shenizka laheir la'atzmeinu ulevnei beitenu b'ma'or panim. This beautiful and unique light. Ukemetzeseinu me'aretz Yisrael v'renu niflaos. Amen keni yiratzon. We should all be zochet to feel the freedom. Beguf uvenefesh. Shkayach.